You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's Thursday, March 22nd. We're talking Braves baseball. Pleased to be joined by Braves reporter for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. And Mark, let's start off first talking about Lucas Sims, who was on the hill, maybe looking for an opening day rotation, but we're taping this on a Thursday, and he went today, and it didn't look too good, did it? Three innings, six runs, his ERA over 10 this spring. So is this looking like Sims is the odd man out there in the rotation?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, I'd have to say he was a long shot for the rotation, and it probably is the best bet would have been for him to have been slotted into being one of the two long relievers they would have carried to start the season. You know, obviously, at the same time, they do need a fifth starter for a couple weeks while Luis Guajara is out. You know, you've got Scott Kazmir, who hasn't been overly impressive yet this spring. You've got Anibal Sanchez, who was released by the Twins. He signed a minor league deal with the Braves last week. The thing is, that even if he said, okay, Sanchez is better choice than Kazmir, okay, so now he's a non-roster guy. You're also going to have a couple other non-roster guys, Danny Santana, maybe Ezekiel Pereira. Ronald Acuña is going to need a 40-man spot. Now all of a sudden, you should be in the 40-man spot. So I think they were looking for at least maybe think about Sims. I think he's a kid, you know, former first-round draft choice. There's a lot of people in that organization that still pull for him. They want to see him do well. I just think that his future probably is in the bullpen, and he might end up being a one-inning guy where he changes his approach a little bit. He's certainly a likable guy. I just don't see his long-term future as a starter, especially within this organization, where even, you know, you've got your opening day starter who, you know, by June or July, it might be clear that he's the fourth or fifth best pitcher within this organization if everything goes right. Some of their young pitchers can make their strides. That's where the future is here with this organization. This is going to be a weeding out here. And it was only fair to give him this opportunity. He deserves more. You don't pull the plug yet, but if I had to guess, his future is this early.
Yeah, let's stay with the rotation. A guy who did look good in his last outing there after two minor league starts. He went out on Wednesday with the big league team, Brandon McCarthy, and he looked pretty good. So he seems to be ready for the regular season.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's an interesting guy. It's been fun to get to know him. Look forward to talk to him throughout the season. He tells it how it is. He asks, how do you compare this start compared to the one you're going to make Monday night, the exhibition game against the Yankees in Atlanta? And he said, you know, well, it's basically an emotional spring training start, but it was like the regular season. In other words, hey, look, I've been through this before. I'm prepared. I'm ready. Let's get the real thing going. And one thing with McCarthy, he worked on his slider this spring. That was a big focus for him. He feels comfortable with that. He's healthy. He obviously battled a lot of different ailments last year. It's not great to go into the offseason knowing that your last pitch was a game winner for a team that ended up beating you in the World Series. So, that the home run he allowed to George Springer in the 11th inning of game two. So, there's a little bit of motivation, or not motivation, I don't want to say that, but, you know, it's not just from that home run. It's just coming back and proving, hey, he's still got a little bit left in the tank, and he's pitching for his next contract this year.
Maybe a little extra chip on the shoulder. That never hurt anyone, especially that's a competitor. So, Brandon seems ready to go. Julio Teheran ready to roll, making a Braves record, fifth consecutive opening day start. I was kind of surprised to read that. Maybe I shouldn't be, but fifth consecutive opening day start, a Braves record with all the tremendous Braves pitchers of the past. So, Teheran, you mentioned by the end of the season he might not be considered the number one guy, but at least for now going into the season, he's the number one guy.
I mean, and that's fine. I don't think anyone was surprised he got the opening day start. And in all honesty, there really has never been a surprise in any of these 5 years. You know, the first start came because two guys got injured, Chris Medlin and Brandon Beachy. The next four have been within a rebuild, in which he's been considered the anchor of a rotation and taken on a lot of different looks over the last couple of years. You know, now you're starting to see this is a big year for Mike Polkinevich and Sean Newcomb. You're going to see Mike Soroka at some point this year. And it's a big year for Julio because, yeah, this is his fifth opening day start. He certainly has reason to be proud about that. But at the same time, you know, if you take a step back and look at the other names that he's linked with, Greg Maddux, Phil Niekro, and Rick Mailer are the only others that made five, you know, opening day starts. None of them five consecutive five opening day starts in Atlanta history. And we all know where Niekro and Maddux ended up, you know, as Hall of Famers. And this kind of applies to Niekro as well. But when you throw in Rick Mailer there, remember that was during the 80s. Those were some lean years as well. So it's easier to compare him there to that level of pitcher than it is to Maddux or Niekro. But at the same time, certainly it's going to be an honor for him to step out there. This will just be his second opening day start at home. I think he's looking forward to that.
No question about it. Talking with Braves reporter for MLB.com, Mark Bowman. Mark, explain this one to me. Ronald Acuna Jr., number two prospect all of baseball. I've loved watching him in spring training, hitting the cover off the ball, doing great things. And then he was sent down, but there's a bit of an explanation behind that. Maybe you can just clear that up as to why Acuna was sent down and what it means going forward.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever any question he was going to be sent down. I mean, that's been the narrative all the way since January. Obviously, the team can't come out and say that because then all of a sudden that's an easy peace agreement for the union to win. At the same time, it's a move that makes perfect sense. It's not a team that's 2 weeks away from 2 weeks of Ronald Acuna away from being a playoff team. Brandon McCarthy comes back the other day. I saw him, you know, arguing with fans, and he says, "Well, nobody said that about the Twins or D-backs." That's fine. That's the way a player's supposed to feel. Those fans that want to see him in there, you know, over the entirety of the 162-game season, that's the approach they're supposed to take, too. Fans want to see their team be at full strength, and, you know, as often as possible. But at the same time, when your general manager's position is out, and thoughtful to then, you have to evaluate how these short-term, or these current decisions, how, you know, not only if they affect the short-term, but more importantly, the long-term, especially when you're within a rebuild and you know what's coming. And so instead of, you know, you sacrifice 2 weeks of Ronald Acuna right now, it's going to end up being 13 games. He can come out as early as April 14th. You sacrifice 2 weeks in exchange during a season where you're probably not going to win with or without him, and then you get a full season in 2024, that's a season where you might still have a rotation. You know, Mike Soroka and Ian Anderson and Kyle Wright, some of these top pitchers that they have in the organization. Do we know what they're going to be in 2024? No, but there's a better chance to project that they're going to be much better than they are right now because you kind of have a feel where they are now. If Mike Polkinevich takes a big stride forward, Sean Newcomb, Luis Gohara comes back from his ankle injury, and that rotation, and Brandon McCarthy proves to be, you know, a stable force in that rotation. Okay, yeah, this team has a chance to surprise and exceed expectations, but I think you have to play the probability game. And, you know, when you're going to take that gamble, I don't think I would ever gamble 2 weeks within this season to get full year of control of Ronald Acuna when he's closer to his prime at that point. Anyhow, he'll be 26 years old in 2024.
Absolutely, and I think, yeah, you're right. It makes sense when you explain it that way, for sure, and I think the Braves fans will understand that moving forward. They can wait a couple weeks to see Acuna, but just to finish up on him, too, I mean, you've watched him all spring. This guy is ready, though, physically, right, to perform at the major league level.
There's no doubt about it. You know, this kid is different. I've seen a lot of prospects over the years. I wasn't around for Chipper, but, you know, I've seen Jeff Francoeur, and I've seen Jason Hayward. This kid's different. This kid moves different. I think that, you know, the game has a couple of these young stars right now. Robles there with the Nationals. It's going to be fun to see those two compete against each other over the next few years. It's the one thing that Ronald, the numbers prove this as well. It doesn't take him long to adapt to a new situation. You look at what he did at the Class A level last year. He put up good numbers. He put up better numbers at Double A, and they were even better in Triple A. This year's spring training, he had a couple bad games, and then he caught fire. And it doesn't take him long to adapt the game. I like his swing. I like the routes he takes in the outfield. There's some maybe some talk about it. Maybe his base running needs to improve. You look at his stolen base percentage last year. Some of the turns he takes on the bases, but I did not see a significant problem there. I saw improvement there, based on what I had heard and what I expected coming into camp. And I think this kid, we've all said that he's the best prospect. The Braves seems to be Andrew Jones. Well, he's certainly on that level. He has that capability to have that kind of career. And I thought while Ralph Garr played with Hank Aaron, he wasn't with him in 1954 when Hank was, or 55, whenever Hank would have been 20 years old. But he said, look, from what I've seen from this kid, I think he probably would have been at least equal to where Hank was at 20. That doesn't mean he's going to have the career Hank had, but he has those kind of tools. He has the tools to be an elite player for many years.
Well, if Braves fans weren't excited before about Acuña, I think you took it to a new level there. And definitely, I mean, I've seen him play too this spring training. He looks tremendous, very exciting player, and can't wait to see him at the major league level. Last question real quick for you, Mark. Just, you mentioned before, but if everything goes well, what is the ceiling for this Braves team if everything goes really well and everyone stays healthy here?
I'd say the ceiling is probably 84, 85 wins. If you enter September, maybe I don't know if there's going to be legit hope for a playoff berth when you enter September, because my expectation is the second half is going to be that much better than the first half. I think once some of the, Soroka gets in the rotation, Acuña's, fully entrenched as a big leaguer, he's comfortable with the seam. Maybe you start to mix and match within that lineup once he starts to get comfortable. I do expect the rotation will improve as the summer goes on. Like I said, there'll be a weeding out process, and I think they'll be able to use maybe some of the pieces, the depth within their system to strengthen their bullpen. This probably isn't the year for them to make the playoffs, but I think the second half will provide fans reason to be excited about, what should be a legit possibility for them to be playoff contenders in 2019, because they will have what they had this year and significant money to spend this winter.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Mark. Exciting times for Braves fans, no question about it, and we'll see how it all plays out. Great stuff as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon. I'm Darwin Zook. Thanks for tuning in on MLB.com Extras.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.